Well, good morning, High Point Church. It is good to have all of you physically present with us today and all of you watching online right now. We thank you for joining in with today's services. You are a part of what's happening in this service this morning, and we're going to have a rip-roaring time. It's going to be good. Praise God. So we have been talking about, on our Sunday morning services, the idea of spiritual identity. And we've been learning some pretty awesome things. We have found out that we are loved, that we are loved, that we are chosen, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, His workmanship. We are holy, and we are without blame, redeemed. The list goes on and on. So I would encourage you that if you have missed any of these services, you should go back on our Facebook account and you can watch these services, or you can go to our website and listen to anything that you might have missed, because they're all important truths. But I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I want us to stand up where we're at, and we're going to do one of our blessings because it is so appropriate to what we're talking about here. We're going to pronounce over our church who we are. So you know how we do it here. We say it like we mean it. We speak it out loud. We know that there's power and life in our words. So let's speak it out. We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we boldly confess who we are in Him. I am a born-again child of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, a citizen of heaven and His ambassador on the earth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am complete in Him, and I walk in holiness, righteousness, and truth. My faith grows exceedingly. Hope abounds in me, and I have ever-increasing love for others. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God, and revelation by the Holy Spirit. I am God's favorite. He never leaves me and is never angry with me. He constantly thinks good of me, and He really, really loves me. So the answers to my prayers are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. As He is, so am I in this world. I am loved, I am blessed, I am anointed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. How many of you know that's true for you? It's true for me. I usually get a pretty interesting response when people call me and leave me a message on my voicemail. Because if you've called me and you've gotten my voicemail message before, what do I say? I say, you've reached the disciple whom Jesus loves. The disciple whom Jesus loves can't get to the phone right now. But if you'll leave a message for the disciple whom Jesus loves, I'd be happy to return your call. Amen. Why? Because this is what you should be declaring over yourself. It's not just true for your pastor, it's true for you. But it's voice activated. When you begin to believe it and speak it out of your mouth, you begin to see more of the fruit in your life. And that's the purpose of these blessings. Amen. Now, like I said, we've been learning some pretty awesome things about who we are in Christ and what we have in Him. But today, we're going to be learning a new truth that you probably heard sometime or another at our church. You just heard it on our blessing, is that we are anointed. Just as much as we're holy, just as much as we're righteous, just as much as we're loved, and the list goes on and on, you and I are anointed in Christ Jesus. Now, there are some serious misconceptions about the anointing in many of our charismaniac circles. There are many people out there that when it comes down to the anointing, that the anointed people are the preachers, the pastors, the healers, the miracle workers. And then there's you, the not so anointed, right? How many of you know that's not true? I'm going to take you through some scriptures this morning that those people that are used in certain giftings and areas, while they are anointed just like you, you're not anointed less than them. You just got different giftings and graces than some people. Many of you out there, you're not going to be able to stand up and necessarily do what I do here. Why? Because I'm called to do a certain thing. But guess what else is true? I can't do what you're called to do. You're gifted in ways of things that I can't do. We're all anointed, but we're gifted differently. Do you see that? So the anointing is on all of our lives. And I want us to verify this by some scriptures. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go over there first. 1 John chapter 2. A powerful chapter in the scriptures. But it verifies this point. 1 John 2 verse 20. It says, but you. Now this is being written to the church. This is being written to every born again, spirit-filled believer. So you is who this is referring to, have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So guess what we can take from this scripture? We have already been anointed by God. Because why? The Holy One, Jesus Christ, has anointed you. Because when you received Him as your personal Lord and Savior, when you received the Holy Spirit, you have become the anointed ones of God. And that's what's so awesome about this new and better covenant that we live in. It's that maybe when you study the Old Testament, you would see, oh, there were certain people that were anointed. There were certain things that were anointed. But it was only, what, the priest, kings, and the tabernacle and the things within the tabernacle. That's the only things you see in the Old Testament that were anointed. But in the New Testament, how many of you know we're all anointed like that, which does not conflict with each other, because how many of you know this? Just like it was the Levitical priesthood, they were the first ones that were anointed. You remember that? And it was Levi, not this Levi, but the Levi that was the 12 sons of Jacob, you know. That Levi and his son, the Levites, were chosen to be God's priesthood. And if we'll go over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 30, I want to show you what God through Moses said needed to happen. So let's look at this. Leviticus 8:30. It says, then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. Boy, that sounds a little bit like what we were worshiping with this morning. That this blessing be upon you and your children, and your children's children. Do you see this? So take that as a word from God for you today, is that just as God has chosen you, selected you, and now you are the priesthood of God, you can choose to appropriate that into your children as well. Glory to God. So notice this, and on the son, garments of his sons with him, and he consecrated Aaron, and it says his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. So we see the purpose of the anointing oil in this verse. It was to what? Consecrate them. Now what does it mean to consecrate? The word consecrate means to dedicate or to set apart or to, listen to this, make holy. So as we learned earlier in this series, we're made holy in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't just mean we've been made perfect or we've been made blameless. It means that. But to be made holy means to be made different, to be made special. We are holy unto the Lord our God. And the way He did it was by doing what? Anointing us like Levi and his sons were. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You see where I'm going with this? So the anointing is there. And then it was came to be known later that God would ask that the tabernacle, that he said, this is exactly how this tabernacle is to be built. And all of the articles that are on the inside of it, all the specific little things that were in there, needed to be anointed with oil. Well, how many of you know that also reflects what's happened in our life? Because who is the tabernacle or the temple of the Holy Ghost today? Our bodies. Amen. We are the temples of God today. The Holy of Holies resides on the inside of us. So now within you and I is the presence of God. And then the outer court and the gates and all that is just simply your body. But what did we see there? All of those things have been anointed too. So the anointing that happens in our life is not necessarily just physical oil that's poured out on somebody. The oil that's been poured out on us is the Holy Ghost. He is the anointing of God. We see this in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's look at that. Luke 4 and 18. This is a verse that Jesus, you know the story, Jesus stood up in the synagogue on that day and they asked him if he wanted to read. And this was awesome because it was a God-inspired point in his life and ministry. And he found the place where it was written concerning him. Did you see that? And he stood up and quoted from Isaiah 61 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Now don't read that just like that's just a truth for the Messiah, the Son of God. It is true for Jesus, but under this new and better covenant, all those that receive him are born of the same Spirit that he was born of. Therefore, as he is, so are we now in this world. So you and I have this same truth. And we actually had our healing school for over a year. I'd have them stand up and pronounce this over themselves. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And then he goes on to describe some things which I'll get into in a moment. But I want you to notice that in that first phrase, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Notice that what Isaiah was prophesying is having the Holy Spirit upon you is the equivalent of God's anointing being on you. So what are we seeing there? We're seeing that the anointed person is anointed not just because physical oil has been poured out on them. It's because what that oil represents has been poured out on us. How many of you got the Holy Ghost in this place? You've received the Holy Spirit when you were born again. Hopefully, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit after that. Well, guess what happens? When that happens, the oil has been poured out on you. And now, just as all that oil consecrated the Levites, the priesthood, consecrated the kings, and consecrated the tabernacle and the temple, now you as God's temple and you as God's royal priesthood are anointed. Oh, hallelujah. That's shouting ground right there, praise God. That's what we got. That's who we are. So this is for everybody. It's not just for the fivefold ministry. It's not just for those that go about and are used in miracles, signs, and wonders. The only real difference between those that have learned in the body of Christ to go out there and heal the sick, and see miracles, and prophesy, and these various things, you know what the main difference is in those and us? They've learned to develop and yield to the anointing that's on the inside of them. I think it's high time that you and I start learning how to have God flow through us and we allow that anointing that's already in us to be released into the atmosphere around us, praise God. I believe we can do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the anointing oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So, having the Holy Spirit is being anointed. I wrote it this way. The anointing is the person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. So the real question is not, what is the anointing? The real question is, who is the anointing? Because it's the Holy Spirit, amen? And all of us would attest to the fact we got the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if you got the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. But then the next question comes up. And this is the question we should ask. Since we've established ourselves in the fact we are anointed, and we are, what are we anointed for? What is the purpose? Now, if you study those three things that I described from the Old Testament of what they were anointed for, we can see. The priests were anointed to do what? To serve God on behalf of the people. Right? They were called to serve on behalf, minister on behalf of the people. So what does this show us? That each and every one of us, since we are anointed to do what? To minister. See, a lot of us, we've got this misconception in the church that Trey is the minister, and I'm not. But that's not true. We're all called to be ministers, namely ministers of reconciliation. We're all called to lay hands on the sick. And get this, we're all called to preach the gospel. Now, you might hear that and you'd be like, I'm not called to preach. I'm not talking about behind the pulpit. I'm talking about one-on-one with somebody. Are you sharing the gospel with them? Are you giving your testimony with them? You are equipped to do it. If God, listen to this. If God has called you to do it, He's anointed you to do it. You've got the ability on the inside of you to do a whole lot more than we realize. I can be doing more than I realize, even right now. And I believe this is what we're called to do. So, what are we anointed for? We are anointed to be ministers, to serve the Lord, like the priest. So we are the priesthood of God today. Now, that does not mean that you are receiving live animals at your house, cutting their throats, and offering sacrifices for other people. That's what the priest did then. We're called to minister in a little bit different way. Oh, glory to God. We're not called to take life. We're called to give life. And how are we going to do that? Every person we come in contact with, we got our spiritual antennas up, and we are ready to minister, whether it's speaking life into them or whether it's laying our hands on them. That's an interesting point, because when you look up the word anoint from the New Testament, you know what you find out? It comes from the Greek word krio, spelled C-H-R-I-O. And this was a word that was used to describe a physician, a doctor, who would pour oil out on his hands, wipe that oil and rub that oil into his hands, and then he would come to his patient and he would rub that oil into him. And he would rub and he would rub and he would rub them until the oil that he poured out on his hands was transferred into the flesh of his patient. Ah, so you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like to me that we're supposed to be, well, it starts this way. God's hands on us. How many of you know when you study the Old Testament, what do you see constantly as a phrase? When somebody was demonstrating power, when somebody did something supernatural, what did it say usually in the Old Testament? And the hand of the Lord came upon them. Right? And the hand of the Lord came upon them. I'm thinking of the one time where Elijah outran the king's chariot. Remember that? I mean, supernatural ability. So you need some scriptural precedence for running in church? There you go. The hand of the Lord came upon him. And woo! See, I'm going to embarrass myself on social media right next week. That's going to go viral. Hallelujah. But it's the anointing. Because the hand of the Lord, the hand of the anointed great physician is placed on you. There's a transference of that anointing from his hands into your flesh. Oh, glory to God. Sounds a lot like what we're called to do as ministers under this new and better covenant, huh? I'm thinking of a scripture in Mark 16. Help me with it. What is one of the signs that's supposed to follow them that believe? And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you know, there's nothing special about the laying on of hands. You know, God could have said, lay your feet on the sick and they shall recover. I like to say, man, some of our feet could raise the dead, glory to God. Like two of people got that this morning, praise God. But it's just a transference of the anointing that's upon me into the person that I'm ministering to. And you've got to see it that way, that when you put your hands on people, that you're so established in the fact, I am anointed in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That when I touch you, you better get ready. Something's about to happen. Because I am transferring what's on me into you. Amen? And that's all it is. It's like from James chapter 5. You know, when they said, let the sick call on the elders of the church. Amen? Let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Right? Notice it did not say the oil will heal the sick. It said what? The prayer of faith will save the sick. You know why that is? Because the oil, physical oil, has no power in itself. I mean, I've had people, they get real spooky. This happens to us in a lot of our charismaniac circles, is we tend to like to look at natural physical things as being where the power is. And say, oh, bless God, I've got some oil, Pastor. You want to use this oil? Why would I want to use that oil? Because it's from Jerusalem. Well, whoop-de-doo. I mean, there's no power necessarily in where the oil comes from or who put their hands on it or anything like that. Where the power is the faith that's associated with it. And the reason why God has prescribed to us and under our new and better covenant the anointing with oil is because a lot of people need a contact point. They need something that they're like, at this point, this is the contact point. When this is applied to me, something happens. Right? He's trying to get faith out of people. And you see this happen with the Lord all the time. It was always that he would have them do something and make some kind of action with some physical, natural thing. Like, go dip yourself in the river. You know, things like that. Because he's just trying to get faith out of people. And when the faith is there, that's where the power is. So there's not necessarily any power necessarily in the process of laying on of hands and anointing with oil, other than the fact there is a transference of the spiritual, intangible anointing that's in you. Oh, hallelujah. And that's power. That is great news. So the priesthood is called to minister on behalf of the people. So the way we're called to minister is, I am anointed by God that when I speak into somebody's life, God's going to give me the words to speak. And when I minister to them, when they need something physical in their life, there's something that'll happen. Because why? I believe and established in the fact I'm anointed. But we're not just called to be priests. What else are we called to do? To be kings. Some of that looks like a foreign concept to some of y'all. Go to Revelation 1:6 and let me show you something. Let me show you what it says in the New Testament. Which Revelation is about as new covenant as you can get, right? I mean, we're all the way at the end of the New Testament, right? Notice what he says here. And this is talking about the whole church. And he's made us, doesn't say he's going to make you, or you hope he'll make you one day. He's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. So what is one of the things we're looking at when we look in our spiritual mirror? I'm a king and I'm a priest. And do you know how you became a king and you became a priest? Because God anointed you to be that king and that priest. You weren't going to be that without being anointed. Amen. And it says over in 1 Peter 2:9, in one of these awesome verses, it talks about how we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Sounds like kings, royalty, and priest, amen, being those kind of ministers. So what does it mean to be a king? What does this mean? It means that you are anointed to be who you are. The priest is being anointed to do what you do. The king's is being anointed to be who you are. I am a son and I am a daughter of God. I am royalty. I am, you know, kings were born into those positions. You've been born again into your position as royalty. And how many of you know royalty is not beggars? They're not people that are just barely getting by. They're not people that are struggling for this and struggling for that. No, if you are a king, then guess what? You're at the top of the food chain. Amen. That's the way you got to see yourself. I see myself that way because of who I am in Christ. Not who I am in the natural, not who I am in the flesh. If I judge myself according to who I am in the flesh, I and you would be very disappointed. But who I am in the Spirit and who you are in the Spirit is we are royalty. Which means, and actually go over to Psalm 23, Bruce. Let's go to that verse. Psalm 23. You remember when we studied the 23rd Psalm in this church? And you know what we found out from the 23rd Psalm? This, even though the main place you ever hear this psalm discussed is at funerals, it's not a death psalm. It's a life psalm. When David said this, he was not talking about what's going to happen to him when he dies. He was talking about, this is the way I live. This is what I live in. And there's a lot of awesome things we covered in this, but this was one of them. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And what we found out from the word anoint here, it's not the same word that's used in the Old Testament to describe the anointing of a king or a priest. This is a different word. This word describes an anointing that took place when you were a guest in somebody's home. So when you came into somebody's home, if they were regal, if they had wealth, and you know our God's rich, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold is His, is what the Bible says, that when you come into His house, what happens? When you come in, God anoints you, not just for service, but to be who you are. And He anoints you in an extravagant way. In fact, the word that's used for anoint here, you know what it means? When you look it up, there's 4 scriptures in Proverbs. I won't take the time to take you to them. I can give them to you later if you want them. There's 4 scriptures in Proverbs where the same word anoints is used. And guess what? It's never translated. Anoint. It's translated prosperity, healing, and rich. So you know what that sounds like to me? This health and wealth gospel that people have condemned out there might be a little truer than most people think. Because if He's anointed my head with oil, then guess what the fact is? He has poured it out on me in fullness, abundance, prosperity, and He's made us spiritually rich. Oh, glory be to God. That's awesome news right there, isn't it? Amen. In fact, I'm thinking of another scripture. Do you remember the story in the Gospels when Jesus is getting ready for His crucifixion? That He's in the house of Simon the leper. And when He was there, there was a woman that came to Him, which we know from one of the Gospel writers to be Mary the sister of Martha. You remember that Mary? And she came in with an expensive alabaster flask. And she comes in, she breaks it, and she pours that extremely valuable and precious ointment on Jesus. In fact, put it on His feet and wiped His feet with her hair. Right? And what we find out from these events, if you look at these different gospel writers and their description of what happened, Judas spoke up and said, "This could have been sold for 300 denarii." Do you know what a denarius was in that day? One denarius was one day's labor. So this is 300 days worth of work. So let's be conservative. This alabaster flask and everything that was contained in it was probably worth at least $20,000 today. That's a pretty lavish offering to be given to the Lord, right? Now, here's the good news. You ready for this? Mary is to be commended for doing that. But how many of you know and can attest to this? You can't outgive God. There ain't nobody on this planet that gives bigger than God. So if this woman did this for Him, do you reckon God has done something bigger and better for us? I'm here to tell you that Jesus was that alabaster flask that was broken on the cross for us so that the aroma of His beauty and the wealth that was contained within Him is now filling the house and being poured out on every single one of us. That's what we've been anointed with. Glory be to God! Hallelujah. That's shouting ground right there. That's what we live on. That's what we cut our teeth on. Hallelujah. That's who we are. That's what we've got. We are anointed to do what we do and to be who we are. And He's placed that same anointing upon these temples. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So, if the anointing is the Holy Ghost, His person, presence, and power in our lives, and we are anointed with Him, then what does this mean for us? So I want us to end today by going to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Oh, hallelujah. I like double dipping. I like preaching twice on Sunday, praise God. I'd just as soon do it 3, 4, 5 times. Because I get blessed when I share it, hallelujah. It's funny, I noticed that. Like, for example, when we're sitting here doing these recordings over these past 2.5 months, we would record on Tuesday, and three of us, a lot of times it would be me, Minton, and Robert, and things like that. And what was always so awesome to see, and I'd see it in my own life, is the countenance that was on us, the exuberance, the joy, was always better after we ended up ministering than when we started. And now all of us, every time. Why? Because of the anointing. He has anointed me with the oil of gladness. Not sadness, gladness. That's one of the benefits of being anointed, is you get joy as a byproduct. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Now, you know Ephesians chapter 1 is a section of scriptures we've spent a lot of time on in this series, have we not? I mean, we've gone through this and we've looked at the fact that through this that we are chosen and we are redeemed, that we are adopted. All these different things that are listed in this, what I call the love sentence. One sentence in the original Greek from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. All of this is just truth after truth after truth after truth after truth of who you are in Christ, who you are in Him, who you are through Him. That's who you are. But then he gets to the last two verses here. And I want you to notice he acknowledges the Holy Ghost in our lives. And notice what the benefits are. Verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. How many have believed in here? Raise your hand if you have believed. Have you already made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? Did you believe on the name of the Lord? Okay, so this is your reality. Having believed, you were, not going to be, you were, past tense, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll get back to that one in a moment. Look at verse 14. Who is, talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? Do you know what the purchased possession being referred to here is? Your body. Did you know your body, we've been bought with a price. The Scriptures teach us this. We've been bought with a price. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We've been bought with a price. We do not have the freedom to do with these bodies what we want. It's God's possession. It's the purchased possession. But here's the awesome news about that. Is if my body is God's possession, it's not the devil's. Oh, glory to God. That means sickness, disease, infirmity, and anything else that would afflict my physical body has no right, because I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there are to be no flaws in this physical temple. It certainly means I'm not supposed to be living in sin, but I'm not supposed to be living in sickness either. Amen. So, we're waiting for something though. And this is what's awesome. Is that this is saying the Holy Ghost is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And what that's talking about is, there's a redemption that's already taken place spiritually, but there's a redemption that will be taking place when Jesus comes back again and you receive your glorified body and you're raised from the dead. And that's something that should really be exciting to us. Amen? No more struggling with this flesh. No more struggling with the weaknesses and different things like that we deal with in our flesh. There's coming a day, soon and very soon, when Jesus will return, split those eastern skies, and will reveal to us. And the Bible says, when we see Him, we shall become like Him. Meaning we're going to receive a glorified body with Him. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost in us now today is the guarantee of that inheritance. You know what the word guarantee means? The word guarantee, in fact, the King James Version says earnest. He's the earnest of our inheritance. And when you hear the word earnest, I'm not talking about that guy that was on TV back in the 80s. You know what I mean, Vern? Golly, man, y'all need to wake up this morning. I'm not talking about that earnest. I'm talking about earnest money. I'm talking about a guarantee. We would say it this way, a down payment. So think about it. Draw yourself back to the greatest experience you've ever had in the presence of God, where the most joy was experienced, where the most peace was had, where the biggest blessing was there, and you were like, God, never let me leave this place. That's just a taste of what we have to look forward to. That's just a down payment. Oh, glory to God. That's who the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us. In fact, you know what's interesting about this word? We're going to be talking about rings this morning. You know what's interesting about this word guarantee? It was also used at one point to describe an engagement ring. Now, we can relate more to that in our culture today, can't we? Because when a man gives a woman an engagement ring, what is he doing? He is making a pledge. He's making a promise that there's more on the way. Not only am I giving you something of value to make you know that I'm going to marry you, but you're going to receive my name then. And when you receive my name, you're going to receive the checkbook and the credit card and all the other things that your very regal and wealthy husband has in his possession. Amen. I'm not talking about your physical husband, not necessarily. I'm talking about your spiritual husband. And we're all the bride of Christ, so I'm talking about all of us in the feminine there. Amen? So he's the guarantee. He's the wedding ring. The Holy Ghost is the wedding ring that promises us the marriage supper of the Lamb that day. That's awesome. But back up, because I want you to see the word sealed. Look at verse 13. He said over there that when you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what does this mean? Well, the word sealed was a word that was used back in those days to describe how when, let's use this example, when an important document was drawn up where somebody that was in a very important position, an authoritative position, a wealthy position, that they had to draw up an important document, and they were communicating something to somebody else. So they would write it on this parchment paper, like a scroll, and then they would wrap it up, and lest anybody else just read everything that's on the inside of there, they would roll it up, they would pour some hot candle wax on the crest of that paper, and then the owner of that document, the writer of that document, had a ring called a signet ring. S-I-G-N-E-T. And this signet ring oftentimes had on it the image of the master or his symbol. And it was something unique to him. So after that hot candle wax was poured on the crest of that paper, he would take his signet ring and he would press into that wax to seal that document, and it left on that wax the image of the owner. Do you see that? Boy, does that not go in line with what we're talking about over these past couple of months? It's identity. We've had impressed on our spirit by the Holy Spirit being poured out in your life, you being anointed by the Holy Spirit, you have had impressed in your spirit the image of the Master, of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. So on the inside, I look like the express image of His person. Hebrews 1:3. That's what we got on the inside of us. And I don't know how in the world y'all are being so quiet when I'm saying that. That's awesome news. Oh God, give us the revelation of this, that we would know who we are, what we got. And you know what that did when they would seal that document? It assured that it would reach its destination. Sounds like that down payment guarantee thing, right? Is the initial payment was made, which is a pledge that you're going to get the rest of it. Oh, glory to God. That's what we got. That's who we are. That's what our Father says is ours. So I am sealed with the Holy Ghost. He is a guarantee that I look like Jesus now. I can be like Christ now. And it empowers me not only to be who I am, but to do what I do. So this anointing we're talking about that's available to all of us, it is ours, holds a whole lot more fringe benefits. Amen. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 103, and forget none of His benefits. You know, because there's so many different things that we have in Christ Jesus and who we are and what we have. And I'm telling you what, we are blessed. We are anointed. And because we are anointed, all these things are our reality in Christ Jesus. Amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's who we are. It's what we got. I am royalty. I am in the priesthood. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, all of these things are my reality and they are yours. And I encourage you to take ownership of that today and let that truth continue in that truth. And when you do, the truth will make you free. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that we are anointed, that we are loved, that we are blessed. Therefore, we are your possession, and we have the surety that we will reach our final destination because, God, you've poured the Holy Ghost out on us in abundance. You've made us rich. You've made us wealthy. You've made us all these things in Christ Jesus. We can lay hands on the sick and say, just like Simon Peter said, flesh, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. We have something in our possession. It's who we've been made. So we need to act on these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.